Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Great to have Dino and Brendan on board the Maccabi Diva Stakes, the Group 1 feature at Flemington yesterday. Run to the Rose, the feature at Kembla Grange. Some terrific racing internationally during the week at Doncaster with Stradivarius and Hurricane Lane, the features there, and St Mark's Basilica taking out the Irish Champion Stakes at Group 1 level at the Curra overnight. So plenty to cast our eye over during the week, and particularly yesterday, as I welcome Dino to the program. Good morning, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Warren.
Tough day for a tipster yesterday. Put my hand up and give myself about a 0.5 out of 10 for yesterday. How did you find the racing yesterday?
Yeah, in golf terms, I would have missed the cut, I think. So, it was a tough day. And it was a day that we expected to see short favourite after short favourite roll in. And really, it was only in Sydney where that you could trust Animo, and he got out to a very backable price. So, it was a strange day for punters in that regard. But we did see something maybe pretty special starting to unfold with Incentivised. We'd seen it up north in different sort of conditions, but to do that on Wait for Age yesterday, I thought it was outstanding.
Yeah, looking forward to chatting about that race shortly with yourself and Brendan. And how was your afternoon yesterday, Brendan?
Well, it was okay, but my old mate Harbour Views came back to town, so that made everything okay in the end when he was able to get up at his racetrack return. But it was an entertaining day's racing, Melbourne and Sydney. But just before we go on any further, Warren, Dean, is there anything we should be looking for in New Zealand early today? We missed the boat last week.
No, I think we're running next weekend, Brendan, so I'll let you know. I think it might, and it might be next Sunday too. So, no, there's nothing to look forward to this week.
On the ball there, Brendan, well done. Yesterday, the highlight, the Group 1 race at Flemington. Wait for Age, a mile, 1,600 metres, the Maccabi Diva Stakes, and we got our first look at Incentivise here in Victoria.
Up around the turn, had a pretty good run in Centervise at the 500 metres, led by a length to Fane, inching closer, then Mount Popper, Aegon now travels up three wide from Mawunga, and back behind them, Explosive Jack, Sir Dragon A and 50 Stars, in Centervise, 300 metres to go, to Fane moves up on the outside, they lock horns, then Aegon, Mount Popper, and down the outside, Sir Dragon A, in Centervise, kicks at the 150 from Tafane, and they were followed by Mawunga, who's coming hard, in Centervise. Incentivise holding on from Mawunga. Incentivise makes a statement in the Group 1. Beat Mawunga, Sir Dragon A, Tafane. They were followed by Collett.
Well, what do we make out of that race, Dean?
Look, it was a fascinating race. Fascinating to see how that horse was going to measure up yesterday, Incentivise. And he did it in great style. I thought it was a really smart ride by Brett Prebble. He got control of the race. Probably backed it off in the middle stages and let horses work up to him, and then really once the horse got in the straight line, let him use that big stride he's got and kept going. I thought Mawunga, when there was that quickening of the speed from the 6 to the 4, he just got left that little bit flat-footed. He quickened up to the sectional times. He went from 12.24 to 11.08, but it was it left him a little bit flat and with a bit to do, but I really loved the way he dug in Mawunga, and Sir Dragon A, he couldn't help but miss his run. I believe that might have been Ben Allen doing the Damien Oliver roar near the line there, the sound effects. I think he picked up on that, and it was a terrific return to Fane. I thought ran well. I don't think outside the lead in a mile's her go. I think if she's going to win a mile, she'll be buried away. So I don't think there's any problem with her running the mile, and I'm very strongly attached to Colette for the Caulfield Cup, and I'm not changing after yesterday. That was a lovely run, and K.O. Nautique was a total forgive, had too much to do. Thanks to Daily Sectional Times, he ran the best last 400 of the meeting, second best last 200. So even though his finishing position looks average, it was actually a very good performance.
So the markets responded very strongly towards Incentivise with respect to the Cups yesterday, Dino. But tell us why you're still firmly aligned with Colette.
Oh, I just think she's going to. I'm imagining that she'll go Underwood Stakes and then maybe the Caulfield Stakes, or she'll go to the Turnbull and then the Caulfield Cup, one way or the other. But she's having a really good old-fashioned preparation and just building into it. And I like that. We saw a 5-year-old mare last year in Very Elegant win the Caulfield Cup. I think she's going along well. But Incentivise might be that X factor that might just win everything. Who knows? Because what he did yesterday, certainly, he's put the line in the sand that he's well and truly up to this level, and we'll see how the next few weeks unfold.
Your take on the race, Brendan?
Really interesting part of the race for mine, just before the home turn, for maybe a stride and a half, Preble let him have a little bit more rein, and the rein just looped for a little bit, and there was no immediate response, and I thought he might be in trouble here. Tafane looked to have his measure at that time of the race, but it wasn't an immediate reaction, but it was a gradual build-up, and as they kept getting further up the straight, he just kept on getting stronger and stronger. Tafane, I thought she did a good job, as Dean said. If she's going to run a mile, she's going to be one out and two back, or on a three-wide trail or somewhere like that, and come with one run at them. I thought she more than ticked that box there yesterday. Aegon looked a chance, but subsequently he's pulled up with some issues after racing close to the speed. Mawunga, Sir Dragon, hard to miss what they did. But then going back to that next wall, Imaging could do with some luck. He got shuffled right out of the race coming to the turn and has hit the line, as well as the horses in front of him, Mawunga and Sir Dragon. Liked Explosive Jack, the way he picked them off back to the inside late. Hard to miss the former Japanese runner and Colette. But just looking outside of the square, I thought Explosive Jack's run was pretty good there yesterday. Inside, he doesn't generally like it there, and still he had a lot of room to move, but his last 100 or so where he's really picking up through the line, he might be a sneaky once they start getting out over a lot longer.
You mentioned an issue with Aegon, reading from the stewards report. Post-race veterinary examination identified the presence of blood at one or both nostrils. In the opinion of the veterinary surgeon, such bleeding was attributable to external trauma. So must have copped a whack somewhere, but he still be required to provide a veterinary clearance prior to racing again. So not deemed a bleeder, Dino, and must have, you know, copped a whack from something at some stage, did Aegon?
Yeah, that's true, Warren. And he landed in a good spot, but he might be better a pair, you know, say behind Mawunga where he was yesterday, and probably that trauma didn't help either. But I think he probably it was a good position out of the gates to be in, but maybe for him a pair too close.
And for Brett Preble, continuing his rise through the spring and his traditional turn to the crowd and wave. I thought that the tracking shot inside was great. He turned to the crowd and wave, realised there wasn't a crowd, but he found the cameraman and the tracking shot on the inside pretty quickly, Brendan.
Certainly did. He is riding in outstanding form. Everything is, speaking of missing cuts, if there was cuts to be made, Preble wouldn't be missing any of them at the moment. One of the losing rides earlier on, the race that was won, it was race number four on the card, Crystal Bounds race. He's ride on Flying Evelyn, did everything right but just didn't win the race, and then he's ride on Ranch Hand, and then Incentivised yesterday. He's at the top of his game, he's hungry, and Dee made the comment yesterday he might want the title back. There's an opportunity there and he's going to make the most of it.
Brett Preble riding on the crest of a wave and making the most of the opportunities. Taking out the Group 1 aboard Incentivise yesterday. Top of the program, Damien Lane had a good day out. He was aboard Turidan in the first.
They run the corner. 550 metres to go. They sprint up. It's Turidan held together by a length. One more try. Shown the Persuader. Kingsville behind them. Coolthout deeper. Then Luna Flare with the white jacket back to the fence. Further back, Killorney. And then came Blandford Lad. Turidan went for home. 300 metres to go by a length and a half to Luna Flare. Kingsville. And then whacking away is one more try. Turidan at the 200. Luna Flare's the threat and echo away. Turidan. Now Luna Flare up on the inside, getting close. Turidan just in front of Luna Flare. Turidan dug in. Turidan just beat Luna Flare, and four lengths Kingsville. A gap to a photo for fourth. But
fought back strongly. Some half hour or so before the race, there was a late scratching of Pondus, who was found to have some soreness upon flexion in the off fetlock. So changed the race to some extent, Brendan, I suppose, but Turidan's going well, and the Mar and Eustace stable with their horses over a bit of ground have got an amazing strike rate.
Yeah, they're on fire at the moment. Damien Lane, really smart ride here. Didn't go too slow, but didn't go too quickly either. But he was able to drag his rivals out when he got the breather, probably from about the 1,200 coming up towards the 800 metres. He let Turidan really fill his lungs for that last little rally that he was going to need to have. And it maybe just flushed out a couple of his rivals. Coulth went, and then Killorney jumped onto his back and went as well. And they were working a fair way from home to get up towards Turidan, who was at that point of the race, just having a little breather and preparing to kick on again. So smart ride to drag those horses out, and saying that they were disappointing, Coolth particularly with Killarney. Luna Flair's done a good job. Not sure where she goes to now after getting it to 2,500. It's not going to get easier. At this time of the year, King's Fool's battling away nicely. He hasn't had a lot of luck at his last two, and he was up behind the speed, so he was resting as well when those runs were coming sort of three-quarters of the way through the race. There might be something for him on a Wednesday or a Friday night coming up where he can pick one off and back to the drawing board with Coolth. I thought that was his real opportunity yesterday, and he got to them quickly on the turn, but as soon as it was time to go again, there wasn't much left.
Couple of things from the stewards report worth noting, Brendan. With Coolth rider, Brett Prebble reported the gelding may be suffering from a respiratory complaint, but they couldn't identify anything post-race. So stewards will follow up with the stable there. And a bit of the old chestnut with Damien Lane, the winning rider, fined $1,500 for overuse of the whip and winning by a narrow margin. So a bit to dissect in the stewards report, Dean.
Yeah, that's true, Warren. You know, and it's a recurring theme. You know, this was a truly run staying race on a big track, so they were under pressure from a fair way out, and these are usually when we get these transgressions. We saw it in last year's Melbourne Cup with Tiger Moth, you know, chasing after a fast speed. Often when the jockeys do have to resort, and they probably do lose the count a little bit, but it was a good win by Turriden because, look, they're absolute geniuses at training these stayers, Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace, because we saw it with Smoke and Romans. They take their time to develop them. The horses get a great foundation underneath them, and then they extend them out. And this horse is really a great example of that, having won his last two. And it wouldn't be a Sunday morning without a Carl DiIorio fun fact, Warren. And the stable, since June 2020... have won 13 of the 29 races at 2,500 metres plus at Flemington. And for the calendar year, they've won 6 of the 13 races at Flemington over 2,500 metres or further. So they dominate these races, and Turriden's just another example of that.
Involved in the management of Turriden through your association with Jerry Ryan, what could the future hold for him, Dean?
Well, it was probably going to be a bit more low-key to go, say, to the Ansett Classic at Mornington in a couple of weeks. But with that win and his liking for Flemington, he ran really well behind Hosier the start before. He might have a go at the Bart Cummings, and if he doesn't quite get there, he might go back to a race like the Bendigo Cup. But I can say that having seen a video of him this morning down at the beach at Mordialloc, he's pulled up very, very well. So he's bright as a button to go on to his next start.
Good to hear. One more try pulling up with a throat abnormality following yesterday, and will require veterinary clearance, Dean.
Yeah. What is a recurring theme through the day is that there was a lot of respiratory problems with horses yesterday. I don't know if it was the wind or something in the pollen or something, but my goodness, it was a day for horses that had respiratory issues.
Turriden took out the first. We got to the second. One of the short price favourites of the day, seen for an anchor for quite a few multis, was Artorias from the Freedman Stable.
And behind them, Turn It Up Tommy, Daily Bugle and Choo Choo Kaka. 350 metres to go. Mr Mozart lets down a length. Halal, he's exceptional. Artorias coming on now. And then came Daily Bugle, flat-footed at the 200 metres. Mr Mozart just in front of Halal. Artorias is winding up from he's exceptional, but still Mr Mozart, 100 to go. Artorias has a fight. Mr Mozart just in front of Artorias. Mr Mozart has beaten Artorias. Halal, he's exceptional. A gap, Daily Bugle.
Team Hawks with first and third, and Anthony and Sam Friedman sliced in between them with Artorias. Dino, how did this pan out?
Yeah, this was the start of where the punters had respiratory issues because Artorias bit the dust. But interesting race that Blushing Tycoon led. The other two that were in the speed battle were the stablemates, and Mr Mozart can go a bit keenly, and Halal, I think going from that really fast race at Moonee Valley to 1,400 with blinkers on, he overreacted, and maybe the blinkers were a negative for him because he was really strong on the bit. But to their credit, they've run first and third, and Mr Mozart, he's done a very good job to win. I wonder if he's sort of on a path a bit like a Hawks runner of a few years ago in Showtime, heading towards the Stutt Stakes and trying to lead all the way around the valley, something like that, or even Halal the way he went yesterday. But they've run first and third. Artorias, I thought when he peeled out and he was blending into the race, he was going to win. His sectional times, thanks to Daily Sectionals, show that he was the 38th best last 600 of the meeting, the 16th best last 400, 12th best last 200. So he was improving, but he just wasn't improving fast enough to win. Halal, as I said, raced a bit keenly. He's exceptional. Daily Bugle were okay from their runs at the Valley. But, yeah, it was a tough win by Mr. Mozart. I thought that he'd been going okay, but he certainly elevated yesterday.
Does it tell us Artorias might even be looking for further? How do you assess Artorias out of that?
Gee, it's an interesting one, Warren. I wonder if he's... Is he a run-on sprinter with the blinkers on or blinkers off and go to a mile? And because that win at Sandown still sticks in my head how well he won that day. And I don't think he had the blinkers at that stage. The blinkers were only applied Blue Diamond Day. So, I don't know where he's at. Is he going to back up? Because it would be 4 weeks to the Guineas. He's got to really run in the Guineas Prelude next week. Or does he go to the Stutt Stakes at a mile and try the mile straight away before the Guineas? So they've got options there with Artorias, but it's an interesting challenge going forward which way they go with him. But he ran well. I mean, take the price out of it, he ran well, but I expected in the run he was going to win.
Your thoughts on the race, Brendan?
Mr. Mozart, good, didn't help himself at Caulfield last time out. He got it right yesterday up on the speed. Hilal, that's what we were sort of expecting him to do at Moonee Valley, maybe just that strong gallop brought him undone there yesterday. Artorias, I didn't like the way mid-race, how he was just revving that little bit too much. He didn't quite drop the head and relax like you'd probably like him to do. And I think it's a real fork in the road sort of decision for them to make. I'm a fan of Dean's plan of trying him at 1,400 next week with the option of coming back to 1,200, but then again is a straight 1,200 where they sit up and then kick on a race that's really going to suit him to try and make the most of his stallion potential. So they might have he's run well, but when he peeled off them at the top of the straight, you just thought he was just going to pick them up and put them away, and he didn't quite do that. I thought his exceptionals run was good. He just got tired from about the 50 and then those behind. If you want to pull something out of like the Daily Bugles, the Golden Monkeys, it's Turn It Up Tommy, maybe progressing to something a little bit further, but the first three, and then he's exceptional, then a break to the rest, and yeah, there might be some head-scratching moments with Artorias where they go to from yesterday.
Mr. Mozart, a winner out to 1,400 metres, race two yesterday. Down the straight, 1,100 metres for the three-year-olds, race three. Ranch Hand was first up. Brett Preble riding for Chris Waller.
As they reach the 500, Finance Tycoon just in front of Dio and Jigsaw, then Lloyd's Crown, Ingratiating's getting closer now. It's about two lengths off the lead, and then Ranch Hand and Smitzer at the 300. Finance Tycoon lets down with Jigsaw. Ingratiating's nice and close and goes on by. Then Lloyd's Crown and Smitzer. Ingratiating at the 150, hands and heels. Ranch Hand on the insides, flashing through. Ingratiating, no good thing. Ranch Hand coming at it. Ingratiating, Ranch Hand, who's got it? Ranch Hand beat Ingratiating, photo third, Smites or Lloyd's Crown.
Some interesting audio there, Brendan.
Yeah, maybe just the last little bit after the line might have been a bit of disappointment there from one of the riders, maybe. But second rider. But I thought I heard that right yesterday and couldn't quite pick it up on other replays. But I was correct in my assumption there yesterday. But Ranchin's done an enormous job. Not only did he get knocked down once, he got knocked down twice. At the start, he got hammered by Jigsaw, and then again at about the 150 when he was really starting to track into it, he got stopped again. And but at that time of the race, you probably looked back to him and thought, well, he's going to be the one for the black book tomorrow morning. But he managed to get out. And interesting hearing Brett Preble post-race. He was a bit timid. He's still got plenty to learn, so they've got plenty to work with him. Ingratiating was good, conceding weight to the winner. He tracked into it like he was going to win and just didn't, but they've still got that trick up the sleeve of the blinkers to come. Lloyd's Crown off that Bendigo race, form franked in the race after in the Capped on Teves with the All About Evelyn running well, so he hasn't done a bad job there. He looked like he was going to drop off, and when Smitzer got to him, he really rallied again and was in for the fight. Jigsaw just fair, and then issues for Finance Tycoon behind one of a list with respiratory, I think. But Ranch Hand, he was good. He was cluttered up. He needed luck. He got the luck, and boy, he sprinted hard when he got that clear air.
Yeah, throat condition identified from Finance Tycoon and needs a veterinary clearance prior to racing again. And Dean, before I throw to you, just reading from the Stewards Report regarding Ranch Hand to underline the quality of performance. Began awkwardly, was hampered by Jigsaw, which shifted in abruptly, steadied to avoid the heels of Jigsaw near the 300 metres, went disappointed for a run to the inside of that colt. So as Brendan outlined, Dean, he overcame a couple of issues to, and still was able to win.
Yeah, well, he was a black booker for winning, wasn't he, Warren? It was a terrific effort, as Brendan mentioned yesterday, at the 300. You were putting him in the black book as a hard luck story, and yet he found a way to win. And his elevation in it, or the loss of momentum is really evident in the sectional times to the average. He ran the 7th best last 600 for the meeting, the 30th best last 400, and the 14th best last 200. So between that that 4 and the 2, he really did lose a lot of momentum. So to pick up and go again is a real credit to him. And first up, the others had race fitness on him. So you'd have to think he's a really good prospect towards a race like the Coolmore. And I think that the Wallace Stable obviously held him in very high regard. And I know James McDonald thought he might have been the absolute pick of their sprinting three-year-olds, and that's the way he might shape later on this spring.
No, not at all, Dean. You, from your eye, the performance of Ingratiating?
Thought he ran well and may have just peaked on the run, whether he got there, just that, the leaders. Yeah, he probably had to go it when he did, because you were expecting Finance Tycoon to kick, and their history showed there wasn't a lot between them. Well, Finance Tycoon's had the issue, so he's dropped out. So Ingratiating's been left there. There's still the blinkers up the sleeve. He still had the blinkers on in the Blue Diamond and the Golden Slipper. That's still to come for him later in the spring. So his run was fine. Lloyd's Crown ran really well. Smite, I think, is going okay. Peter Moody keeps batting out for him, and maybe over a little bit further he'll be okay.
Ranch Hand, outstanding, taking out the Poseidon Stakes down the straight, race 3 at Flemington. Also, 1,100 metres down the straight, this time for the fillies. The Carp Don Teams, Crystal Bound, was first up for Mara and Eustace.
Crystal Bound is in limited room, and then Flying Evelyn, next Glistening and Picarones from Tycoon Hummer. All About Eva's held up for a run at the 250. Dosh went for home and kicked a length and a half to 2 lengths. Serides, Crystal Bound, Picarones, Flying Evelyn, and then Glistening. Dosh getting weary. Serides on the inside, and Crystal Bound is lifting. Flying Evelyn coming to. Crystal Bound in front of Flying Evelyn. Crystal Bound beat Flying Evelyn, and a photo for third between Dosh and also Picarones. Then came
Preble charging late on Flying Evelyn. Dean, Crystal Bound, what did you make of her win?
I thought it was a pretty good win. Again, the fillies, as they've done right the way through, slower than the colts that we saw in the Poseidon. But what I liked about her win is that she just didn't just run to the front, and like we saw when she won at the Valley, and just use her speed. She followed once. She got a little bit lost down the straight, but she did enough to win. And I think only having had the one trial, she'll improve off that. And to me, she's looking like a filly that might be better, 12, even 14, maybe this preparation. I don't think she's just a precocious runner anymore. Flying Evelyn ran really well, and she came through the same form line as Lloyd's Crown. It was a messy race that day at Bendigo, and so it proved yesterday that they improved off that. And Dosh, she's a runner. The last little bit of the 1,100, just she peaked on her run, but she gave a good sight and she'll probably be a bit fitter. Picarones was okay. Serides back to the inside was okay. There's not a lot between these fillies, but maybe as they get further, Crystal Bound will be better again.
And listening to the stable, Dean, and to Jane Ivel in the yard, and looking at Crystal Bound via the vision, it looked like she went there with some improvement to come too, which is probably bodes well for her to continue on this preparation.
Yeah, I mean, interesting when you hear Dave Eustace post-race say that, they've always thought maybe the Manicato was a good race for her because a filly like Loving Gabby did that. Well, that's a pretty big benchmark to be putting her on. She hasn't run those sort of figures yet, but maybe there's a lot more to come.
How do you see the race, Brendan?
Well, watching and listening, two different little things. Listening, working on the radio yesterday along with Dean, you're listening to RFM, which is a long way in front of what you're watching. And when Matt said Dosh had kicked clear, I thought, here we go again. Another favourite's going under. But she was really good, Crystal Bound, up there on the speed, just waited and waited, let Dosh go, and she really dug in late. Flying Evelyn, another good ride from Preble, back on the fence. Tried to follow through Serides, who didn't have a lot of room back to the inside. But when that option was wasn't available, he latched onto the back of Jai McNeil and really tagged him through from about the 400 metres, and she's hit the line well. Dosh, good on speed, 1100 maybe a little bit too far. Picarones was good. Serides, as mentioned, didn't have a lot of room. And one that I didn't think had a great deal of luck was Glistening. She got into a good spot early, then took cover, and then that cover was a little bit detrimental to her from about the 300 maybe. The horses in front when Dosh kicked and Crystal Bound went through, and Flying Evelyn was making her runs along with Picarone. She was just left marking time, but she's really lengthened out nicely the last little bit. So maybe a little bit of a forgive run for Glistening.
Highlighted in the stewards report there, Brendan, held up for clear running from the 400 until passing the 200. So you nailed it with your 300 metre guess there. And Dan Stackhouse reported the filly that he rode in All About Eve peaked on its run, derived benefit from the performance, nothing from a post-race veterinary examination for All About Eve. You would think it's onwards and upward for Crystal Bound out of the Carp Dontige down the straight yesterday. Another short price favourite for the day was Ayrton. He went around in race 5.
Arts Marie off the fence, Iconoclasm on the rails. Ayrton in plenty of air deeper, then Quay Quay, King Magnus, Cherry Tortoni has the back of Ayrton, then Harbour View's Not an Option and Never Again at the 400 metres, Outrageous from Regards Marie, but they're closing. Ayrton pumping up the middle, then Crosshaven, King Magnus hard at it, Cherry Tortoni runs on with Harbour View's, Ayrton strikes the front at the clock tower from Regards Marie, King Magnus, Cherry Tortoni, no good thing Ayrton, just in front of King Magnus, Cherry Tortoni and Harbour View's, Cherry Tortoni gets its bib in front, Harbour View's lunges, Harbour View's, I reckon's beaten Cherry Tortoni and Ayrton. Then King Magnus, Regards Marie.
Bright spot on the day for you, Brendan. How did Harbour View's win the race yesterday?
Oh, he's been one of my favourites for a long time, Warren, and it worked out nicely for him yesterday. Thought he might have come out a little earlier than he did, Damien Lane, but his judgment's better than mine, and he was too strong for them late. Vital part of the race. They'd probably gone about 200 metres. Johnny Allen looking to get into the running line on Ayrton, and Damien Lane kicked through underneath him, held him three deep, and that sort of plotted Ayrton's course for the race. He was going to be left there, and as soon as he was left there, Jai McNeil was pretty quick to latch onto his back with Cherry Tortoni. We know he likes plenty of room to manoeuvre, so that sort of helped his case being three deep and having cover. But speed was there for Harbour Views. He got to the outside. Big long straight at Flemington. He's a big horse. He takes a little bit to wind up, but once he hit top gear, he was really good there yesterday. You only have to go back 12 months. He was beaten a half length, starting $5 in a fee, and so he was coming back to take on, well, not really inferior opposition, but you thought he was a little bit overs in what he'd particularly been doing at the trials. Cherry Tortoni, really good return from him. Going to be interesting to see how far they push with him, or whether they stick to maybe 2,000 metres as a max for him. And probably not helped by being three deep, but he's run probably to form. When you go back and have a look at the first up run, Regards Marie and King Magnus not far off him to the inside, and they really got clear of the rest of them. But nice to see Harbour View's back, and Ayrton three deep, no cover. There's a forgive there, but two quality horses have gone past him in the end.
What do you make of the race, Dean?
I think that Brendan made a point about there was a pivotal point early in the race. I think actually the start was pivotal. I thought Ayrton began just that little bit scratchy, and he couldn't get to a spot where he could dominate the race. He was three wide. Not worried about that, but he's a bit like Incentivise in that his best form is when he maintains a long gallop. Yesterday, they didn't go that hard, and yet he was three wide and off them. So he had to sprint at some stage, and that's not his absolute strong suit. He'd have been better maybe challenging early and making it a real tough race. And I thought he ran well, Ayrton, and I think he'll improve off that. And I think in a higher pressure race, the better he'll go. But yeah, really good effort by Harbour Views to win, and Cherry Tortoni building off the trials. King Magnus ran well, Regards Marie. They had a fair margin over the rest. They really did run away from the rest of the group. I thought Crosshaven was a bit of a disappointment. Outside lead didn't give a lot. I expected a bit more from him. But I'm not giving up on Ayrton, because I just don't think that's the race structure that we see him show his true ability. I like him when he can just really run close to his top from a long way out.
And like most of us, were expecting him to win yesterday, Dean. I thought right on the line, he was still strong through the line. He wasn't losing touch with that group. If anything, he was almost starting to claw back a little bit of ground on the line.
Yeah, he's back in front as they go around the turn out of the straight, Warren. He's back, galloping on. So there's no problem with that, and that's the key to him, is that a horse like Harbourview's got that sharp turn of foot, and Damien Lane used it to perfection. As Brendan said, I thought he'd probably waited too long to get on the back of Cherry Tortoni, but it worked out to a nicety, and I just think Ayrton likes that longer, sustained gallop rather than where he has to put the foot down and sprint.
What did you make of the conditions and the track yesterday, Dean?
Oh, I think the conditions were pretty much perfect, Warren. I don't think anyone could blame the track. We saw them use all parts of it. I thought early in the day maybe the inside was playing a bit better, but that might have had a bit of a wind factor. And then, as it was reported on racing.com, the wind tracker, the wind had just shifted that little bit. So if there was anything there, it was marginal. But, no excuses by the conditions.
Your take on that, Brendan?
Yeah, played perfectly, as you'd expect. Flemington in springtime. Good horses could make ground. You could win on the speed. And if we could get it every time we went to the races, we'd be delighted.
Turath had been aiming up at the Let's Elope, trying to go for four wins in a row for Matty Raymond yesterday at Flemington.
The 350, Zoo Dancer and Tarath, they pair off in front by a length and a half to Love Sensation, still a star, followed further back by Ripperita, Instant Celebrity, still third last. Tarath went for the doctor, 200 metres to go, a length and a half, Zoo Dancer, still a star, Love Sensation and Mystic Journey, Tarath going well, 50 metres to go, clear, and Tarath, gee, she's doing a good job, beat Mystic Journey, still a star, and Love Sensation.
Well, I know the wind can vary during the course of the day, Dino, but probably strengthening the case that Ayrton didn't have an excuse from where he was in the run, the way that Turath was able to win the following race.
Yeah, that's probably true, Warren, and it was an interesting take. The first 200 metres, I think everyone was expecting Turath to be the leader. She didn't begin that cleanly, and the pace then became very pedestrian. Chica Ferde at 1,400 metres led, and Turath then ended up three wide, no cover, but she's run along above average tempo in her wins, where she was about five lengths below average for the first 600 metres. So totally different race structure. And she actually, even though she was three wide, no cover, she relaxed. So what she can do is she puts it in a really good burst from about the 4 to the 200, puts a race beyond doubt, and then holds a gallop pretty much to the line, and that's what she did yesterday. Really good that both Tasmanian mares ran well. Mystic Journey through the line, still a star. She's just a beauty. She ran a really good, honest race, but it was a messy tempo race, and Instant Celebrity, she's come home third best last 400 of the meeting, seventh best last 200, but didn't get into the race and had post-race issues, as did Zoo Dancer. They both pulled up with a few issues, Warren.
Yeah, I think you could describe it as a bad hair day for Zoo Dancer. She's difficult to load, so Leon and Troy Corson's have been notified that she's now suspended from racing until she performs to the satisfaction of stewards in a jump out, and she also pulled up with a degree of mucus, so regards a veterinary clearance as well as a steward's clearance for her behaviour. So she wasn't on song yesterday, Dean.
No, she wasn't. I sort of wish she hadn't loaded at all, Warren. I would have got my money back. But she did have a bad day. And there's one that ran third last there that went okay. Only words. Didn't have much luck trying to build momentum. And it was that sort of race that there was not much movement because they'd all gone so steady. And then it was a bit of a sprint home. She went fine and she'll be better over further.
How did you see the race, Brendan?
Yeah, race wasn't run overly fast, and Turath was three deep. She was comfortable, and she had plenty of clear air to work in. I thought it was going to be run at a bit solider tempo to that. Therefore, it's giving sort of each way chances to Bombaccini, Quantum Mechanic off good trials. That if the speed was really there, they would be able to kick off it. They weren't able to. Turath really good on three deep outside the speed. Mystic Journey's done a good job. They didn't go hard, but she was three and four deep the trip. She had plenty of clear air, and I thought she did a good job. Still a star. She was good. Love Sensation had that nice run back to the inside. So with the tempo they've gone, she had to run sort of where she did. I thought Rich Hips closed off okay. Instant Celebrity I know she's come home in some pretty slick sectionals, as Dean outlined, but might have liked to have seen her hold the back of Mystic Journey for a little bit more. Mystic Journey maybe just got away on her a little bit, and then Butter Chicken was hard to miss. She was back towards the inside, no favours there, and she was doing her best work towards the end, and Brett Preble thought he might have been able to jump them on Ranch Hand. He might have had to channel his inner Crisp there with Only Words to try and get a run and hurdle over the top of them, but Dean made a pretty good case for her to be keeping an eye on for next time. But she just had the right run with the right tempo to really capitalise her yesterday, Turath.
And Matty Raymond, Dean's done a terrific job with this race in mind, I suppose, as she was racing through the grades, coming through provincials and midweekers, but she's effectively elevated and been able to take it to that level. So a great advertisement for Maddie and Paddy Bell and the way they've been able to manage her through this preparation.
Yeah, well, they've got a good background in horses maintaining levels of fitness through the previous trainers that they've worked for. And this mare's just, yeah, as you said, like not many runs ago, she was in a 64 and now she's a Group 2 winner. It's quite a progression. And what I've liked about her is that with every run, she's developed better race skills and manners. And yesterday, it all came together because she had to adapt to a totally different situation. Rather than dominating a race from the front, she had to do it in a different manner.
Let's elope for Turaf, Matty Raymond, Damien Lane aboard, a good day at the office. Down the straight for the Bobby Lewis, Mark Newnham had Splintex down here with Craig Williams aboard.
Led clearly, three lengths, Grey Worm in front page, Serious Suspect, the Astrologers coming up the middle of the track from Splintex and also Away Game. So it's the Astrologist in the middle chasing down Jonker with 200 metres to go. Splintex, Away Game running on hard, and Zutori right down the outskirts. Splintex at the 100 takes the lead, Away Game coming at it, then the Astrologist, Zutori, a terrific finish. Splintex just in front of Away Game. Splintex won it from Away Game, the Astrologist, or Zutori Tory for third, then Express Pass. And
competitive race down the straight here, Brendan. How'd you see the Bobby Lewis?
Yeah, certainly was. Good straight horses to the fore, first and second across the line. Hadn't had any straight experience, but they had good straight horses to follow, meaning the tempo was going to be there for them to work off, and they were tucked right in behind and just got the upper hand on the late. Springtex was okay, fresh in Sydney, but down here got a lovely smother for Craig Williams just on the back of the Astrologist and Serious Suspect, and they dragged him a long way into the race, and he had plenty to offer, and it was time to go Away Game. Followed Springtex, she just couldn't get past. She's done a really good job. The Astrologist, Zutori, love racing down the straight, and Express Pass on the week back up has done more than enough in how he closed off his race. He's only been beaten just on two lengths, so I thought he's done a pretty good job racing against some much better opposition than what he has been taking on. But all honest to Splintex, Jonker, there's some excuses there for him in the stewards report. He was there, and at the 300 it looked like it just all went pear-shaped for him. So, and Be Good to Your Mother, he completely bombed the start, was doing a little bit late, but 1,200 down the straight, probably not his go. But first and second, really good, and you'd think the Astrologist and Zutori, next time we get to Flemington, will be ready to rock down the straight again.
Yeah, unfortunately for Jonker, lame in the off-hind post-race and suffering from a throat condition, so not good news there. And Lewis German spoke to the stewards. He was disappointed with the performance of Front Page. It failed to run on, but nothing from a veterinary examination there. Stewards will follow up with the Geray stable there. Your take on the Bobby Lewis, Dean?
Yeah, it was a good effort by Splintex. First time we've really seen it in Melbourne that he's been, he's brought his best form, but his best form was certainly good enough. He's a narrow field sprint winner at Group 2 level in Sydney at Randwick, so he did a good job. Away Game was terrific. The Astrologist, Zutori, as Brendan mentioned, good straight horses. Express Pass on the backup did enough. I thought Too Good Too Hard was a terrific run. Best 800, 600 of the meeting. And she was sort of down the middle of the track wandering. Just want to see her go back to mare's grade. She's ready to win a race. Just needs to go to mare's grade. And Jonker, yeah, for a good class sprinter, he hasn't got a great winning strike rate. He did have issues yesterday, but he goes quite aggressively. And those horses have got to be very strong to be able to do that all the way up the straight. And about the 300, the warning signs were out.
You've talked a lot about straight racing and the ability to change leads, etc. And I've sort of thought about it myself, like an analogy. If you're walking along in a straight line and you've got something very heavy in your left arm, occasionally you like to swap arms to spread the load a bit. And I suppose some horses can adapt to that a little bit better in sprint racing down the straight, Dean.
Well, they don't need the security blanket of a turn to actually do it, physically do it, so that they've got to actually, just change. And the jockeys have got to have that skill, which most of them do, to get a horse to change and use both sides of its body. And that's the important thing to do down the straight. And certainly that's, you watch a horse like the Astrologist and you can nearly actually see him change gears when he goes onto his next lead and he finds that bit. And didn't find enough to win yesterday, but he still ran very well.
It's almost like a dance move with the Astrologist, isn't it?
Yeah. Very
down the straight, true. The Astrologist, very effective. Couldn't get the money yesterday, but ran well again. We get to the last, Floating Artist. It's written by T.O. Nugent. A really positive ride, holding off Defibrillate.
Thea Grance and Milford. Ziegfeld at the 300 metres from Floating Artist, Furion, Persan. Skyman's trying to wedge in between horses. Floating Artist up to Ziegfeld. Skyman and Persan the outside. Floating Artist approaching the 100 from Skyman. Persan and Defibrillate. Still Floating Artist from Persan. Defibrillate's lifting as they get near the line. Floating Artist holds on and won it from Defibrillate, Persan and Skyman. Then...
Well, coming off that win at the Valley, his previous start, Imported Galloper Dean looks to be going very well for the Mara and Eustace stable. And, well, they get him up over more ground, their strike rate even gets better.
Yeah, that's right. I can't wait to see him over more ground probably, but he's doing a very good job, isn't he? And that was a real elevation yesterday. He had every chance in the benchmark 78 when he won two starts back, and he got a lovely run again yesterday. But it was a good open handicap, and he won. In saying that, I think with reasonable luck, Defibrillate, as Brendan outlined after the race yesterday, held up for such a long period of the straight. He probably should have won. Persan was a good return. Skyman was okay. Young Verda was making ground to the inside. King of Leogrance was an encouraging return. So I think a reasonable race. Warning was sixth best last 200 of the meeting, so you couldn't miss his late close. So a pretty good open handicap, but Floating Artist making really good progression, and Defibrillate's one you want to be with.
Thoughts on the last, Brendan?
Yeah, Floating Artist, the Mar-Eustace combination, not only are they really nutting it with the stays, they're really on tune with this these imports, and he's adapted well to be able to race well in his first preparation here. Good progression off a 78 to come and win this race yesterday. Defibrillate, with 60 on his back, held up, couldn't sprint as fast as he needed to with such a short amount of time to go when he got clear. So that was the tale for him. I thought Persan run well. Skyman, he's probably better, you know, a 5-6-7 gate where he can find himself in the running line or with cover on the 3-wide line and come charging home. I didn't think Young Verda did all that bad a job, and Warning from the back of the field, he was a bit of an eye-catcher getting warm at the end. He was held up for a little bit, and when he got clear, he was able to really go through the line, and he had the hoof filler coming off, so might be an indication that everything's right with his feet, and he might be able to be one that can bob up and play a part when the races get longer again.
Dean, an important time of year for all riders to be riding well, and T.A. Nugent associated with the Mara and Eustace stable, but made a point of it, and the stable made a point of it post-race that, you know, he can ride light, and there's some good feature races, handicaps coming up, so a good time of the year for T.A. Nugent to be able to put his skills on show.
Yeah, he did it in the autumn, Warren, by winning or dead-heating in a Group 1 on Portland Sky, and he, as you said, he can ride light and do it comfortably. There's got to be some sort of opportunity for him, and you know, he's only got a few more wins, and he's virtually a senior rider, so he continually puts horses in good spots, and he's riding you know, plenty of winners, and that was a good display yesterday. He was positive on that horse out of the gates, you know, made the race and won well.
To a clear third from Captivate. Animo's into the clear, getting right to the outside, and Remarks two lengths behind him. In the Congo, still the leader from Stay Inside. In the Congo, ahead on Stay Inside, two off to Animo, who's winding up now. Remarks going with him. Good finish coming up. In the Congo, still in front. Animo on the outside is trying. In the Congo, Animo, up you go. Goes home, best to win the run of the rose. Just got there from In the Congo. Photo for third between Remark and on the outside, Glen Eagle.
A lot of these horses match made as two-year-olds, Dean, back for their three-year-old season, some of them first up. How did you see the run of the rose?
Yeah, well, as you said, Warren, they did match motors as two-year-olds, and a few of them had runs back where Animo had a setback, a soft trial, and I doubt I've seen James McDonald softer on a horse going to the line to win by such a narrow margin. I thought that horse was just absolutely outstanding yesterday, Animo, and with so much more to come, you know, it was an exciting win. He got a lovely, he moved into the race with great purpose, and he had one to chase down, which was ideal, but he just did it so well. I just love that win. I think he's the one to beat in the Golden Rose, probably the Caulfield Guineas, and who knows, he might even get to the Cox Plate.
What about you, Brendan?
Yeah, I'm glad Dean made that comment. It just wasn't me thinking it, that he sort of played with in the Congo the last little bit. He knew he had his measure and he just wasn't going to give him a real gut buster to try and run him down and beat him running away by a length. Just do enough when it counted. I thought he was super yesterday. In the Congo, good up on the speed. Remark closed off pretty well. Glenn Eagles, I thought, was good from the back and staying tight up there, rode that tempo and got a little bit tired. And Converge was the one that had his chance in behind them. He was first to get up towards that speed and couldn't really get them. But all honours to Animo yesterday. Question off the topic for, well, on the topic pretty much. If we had this sort of COVID situation in Melbourne, needed to move a meeting like the Maccabi, what track do you think we would shift to if we couldn't race in the metropolitan area? Would it be a Bendigo, a Ballarat or a Sale, or we just put it on the back burner and not run them? If they had to move them and run them, what do you think, Dean, would be the ideal provincial track to take races to?
I think it'd probably be Bendigo, Brendan, but I think Ballarat has a better, a closer distance ranges to, say, a track like Flemington, so you could have run the 11, 12s, 14, 16s, whereas Bendigo don't have a 1200, but either of those two would have been my preference if that was the scenario that we faced. Luckily, we don't. It's tough times up there.
Yeah, it's certainly great that they've been able to get to Kembla Grange, and Lizzie Jelfs was sidelined through to some COVID restrictions from Sky yesterday. I think her daughters had been deemed close contact. So racing's done a great job to navigate through so far, and hopefully that can continue. First of the stakes races at Kembla yesterday was the Dulcifer Stakes, and again, some three-year-olds here, this time over 1,500.
Tricky spot, Silent Impact, as Royal Zell moved up on the outside. Tiger Malay takes the lead now from Giannis and Royal Zell. It's Giannis laying it down to Tiger Malay, and Royal Zell's in for the fight, the outside. It's Giannis, Royal Zell. The Tiger's trying to claw back Tiger Malay. It's Giannis, Tiger Malay, Giannis and Tiger Malay, and Giannis got the bob to win the Dulcifer. Giannis just there from Tiger Malay and Royal Zell. Good finish. Then
evidence in both states yesterday, Melbourne, or New South Wales and Victoria, Brendan, of Chris Wallace's template of giving two-year-olds late-season runs in Queensland and then coming back as a three-year-old with success.
Yeah, nice way to break your maiden too there for Giannis. Tiger of Malay sat in the breeze on the outside. Giannis sat right on his back and peeled off him and was just strong enough at the back end. Tiger of Malay, I thought he was really brave. Royal Zell probably had his chance to win the race. Didn't think Silent Impact had the greatest of luck. Leader dropped in his face on the home turn and he was forced back through the field. Arrogant and Eyecatcher and Allegron was out the back and to the inside and was running on okay, but probably as the day progressed, it probably wasn't a great place to be getting through up on that inside after winning first up Allegron, so maybe a little forgive there. But winner was good, but the run-up was really brave after getting keen up on the outside of the leader.
What do you make of this race, Dave?
Yeah, pretty much. With Brendan there with all of those thoughts there. The one I'd mention is Amakur, who ran fourth. I thought his run was good, home strongly late. A little worry that, yes, they had the synthetic hoof filler on, so whether they're having a few troubles with him, but he goes around a big price and runs well. He ran well again yesterday, but Giannis is probably the one with the development to go on here. Tiger and Malay is very, very honest, and it'll be interesting to which way they go. As you spoke with Ray Thomas earlier, they go on to the Gloaming or freshen up to the Golden Rose with a horse like Giannis.
Ray Thomas also indicating that Jamie Richards had a very high opinion of Entrevier, who's developing a very good record. She took out the Scirocco yesterday.
Head of the straight now, and Written Beauty lays it down to Volpine. Vangelic roused along in third, followed by Entrevier. McDonald's given the New Zealand mare her cue to run home. Written Beauty trying to beat off Volpine, but Entrevier's closing in strongly, and Entrevier moved up now to take the lead from Written Beauty for two slate on the scene, and then came Mar Busher, but Entrevier, the class is shining through, and Entrevier goes on to win the Scirocco, goes on to beat for two, and Mar Busher third, followed then by...
Making it six wins from eight, Dean, with two second placings there. So she's developing a very good record. What did you make of that?
Yeah, it was a pretty comprehensive win, Warren, and a beautiful ride and beautiful race structure. I think McDonald just had her in the right spot. She built into the race, probably just peaked late, but it was a good win. Interesting in James McDonald's post-race interview, he just worried if she was on firm ground too often. He thought maybe better with the jar out. That's an interesting feel that she must have given him. Fertusa's run was enormous. She tends to do that, but the best 800, 600 of the meeting, second best last 400, fourth best last 200, had a lot to do from a long way out and chased really hard. And then, the mare's behind them. Written Beauty's going okay, but just has plateaued out a bit from what I thought. And Vangelic's a horse I like maybe towards the invitation. I think Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have got a pretty handy mare with her. She wasn't far away from the good fillies at three, and she might make the progression at four, and I thought that was a pretty handy return, and she'll be better over further.
How do you see this, Brendan?
Yeah, winner was really good. Right there, midfield speed was on for her. Had time to get to the centre of the track, balance up it, and really go through her gears. And she had a margin on horses like Fertus, that it was going to be a little bit of a task for those horses to run her down. They've run some solid sectionals and getting close to her. So Fertus was good. Talieu went back to that inside section. I thought did a good enough job. Written Beauty got the start better yesterday, which is a positive for her. But just maybe getting up on that speed told a little bit later. And Bushra, I think, chased well with the favourite, and Vangelic was a nice return, but everything panned out perfectly there yesterday for the winner.
Another Group 2 on the card at Kembla yesterday was the Theo Marks, and Brock Ryan won his first group race last week. He was aboard Chat for John Thompson.
Parade in front. Embracer, though, looms large on the outside. 300 metres to run. Bayless had a cheeky peep over the shoulder and he said, go down, Embracer, as he laid it down and heads up Big Parade. Then came Chat, Madame Rouge. Not in the hunt here is Private Eye. It's Embracer in front from Chat, is coming home hard. He's coming home very hard, Chat, right over the top. And Chat got up to win the Theo Marks. Blows out Embracer. Photo for third, Nimmerly. Ice Bath.
Potentially a lead up to the Epsom for a few of these. Brendan, how did you see this race?
Yeah, maybe Regan Baylor shouldn't have had that look over the shoulder at the 200 and he might have been able to keep going. But as soon as he did look, Chat was the one that was an emerging to come out of it, out of the pack and get him. I thought Embracer did a good job, though, up on what looked a pretty reasonable speed there with Big Parade. They've both battled on pretty well after riding that speed. I thought Chat was good. Ice Bath closed off well. Rohirran ran out of room back to the inside, so maybe a little forgive there. Madame Rouge a little disappointing late. I thought Nimmerly closed it off well enough. Private Eye back to the inside as well, but maybe expecting a little more there. But Chat had a nice tempo there for him to work off the back of, and Embracer was happily to oblige and stop in the last 100 metres or so for him to get up.
A whip suspension here for Brock Ryan Dean in winning, using the whip on 21 occasions, resulting in a suspension and a fine. But reading from the stewards' report, they couldn't be satisfied that the advantage gained helped Chat win the race, or was that relevant in Chat winning the race, so they declined to exercise their powers and did not lodge a protest, reading from the stewards report, Dean.
No, and again, what we were talking about earlier, high pressure race, horses off the bit a long way out, and riders are going to have that sort of scenario, and that's what this race brought, because Big Parade went out at such a fast speed. A lot of these were off the bit from a long way out, and it was Chap that was able to keep going and pick up, and it was a pretty good win because on a high-pressure race, still recorded some of the better sectionals of the day. So it was a good effort. Embracer, honest. I thought Private Eye ran quite well. He, I think, put in a massive first-up run. Might have been a little bit flat second up, but he can really elevate third up at his next start, and not dropping off him at all. And I thought he was in restricted room as well, so very forgiving of Private Eye's run there.
Some good racing internationally over the last week or so, Dean. The win of Stradivarius during the week at Doncaster. Did you happen to take in Stradivarius's win?
Yeah, it was pretty clinical, wasn't it? It's probably his easiest run for the season. He just zoomed up to them hard on the bit and cruised away. What a wonderful horse. Was his 17th stakes win, I think. So, just incredible stayer and longevity that he's kept going.
Charlie Appleby was to the fore overnight, with Hurricane Lane taking out the St Ledger at Doncaster. Let's listen to the closing stages.
Mediterranean Whitecap, and now Hurricane Lane is being produced by Will Buick, and he's eating up the ground on the outside to go into third place. Down they come now towards the final two furlongs. Mojo Star now is in front here, but here comes Hurricane Lane with a powerful looking challenge, and it's Hurricane Lane who begins to assert now from Mojo Star. Back in third, Youth Spirit having a good battle interpretation of the Mediterranean, but it's Hurricane Lane who's pouring it on now inside the final furlong. He's up by three lengths from Mojo Star. Hurricane Lane surging clear in the Kazoo Adventure, and Hurricane Lane comes on to win really easily.
Saddlery is everything equine. All your racing, harness, greyhound and equestrian needs in one store. Melton Saddlery stock the world's best brands at competitive prices. Names like Zilco, Protecto, Walsh, Racing Tack, Ariat and Akubra. Plus a full range of supplements, vet supplies, farrier equipment and much more. And you'll always get expert advice. Melton Saddlery, serving the equine sports for 30 years. Open 6 days a week at 79 Unit Street, Melton and at meltonsaddlery.com.au.
Hurricane Lane taking the St. Ledger at Doncaster overnight. About time to get our runs of the day and horses to follow. Warren, I think we've got you back online now to close us out.
Yeah, so excited about Charlie Appleby. I got disconnected. Yeah, let's get some horses to follow and runs of the day from the boys before we hand over to Brendan Delaney for Sunday Central.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Dino, we'll start with you looking back on yesterday.
Yeah, plenty to choose from, Warren, but I'm going interstate. I think Animo was the run of the day for me. And as I mentioned in the review, I think if Too Good, Too Hard can find the right mare's race in the next few weeks, she's going so well, she's ready to win. So I'm with her.
Racing at Donald and over your back fence at Cranbourne today. Anything we should be keeping an eye on?
Yes, I'll be socially distancing from them out of the 1,600 metre shoot, but I'm pretty keen on one here. Race 4, number 9, La Zucca from the Lynn Tolson and Leonie Proctor stable. Showed a bit last time in, but recent trial at Mornington was outstanding, and I think will be very hard to beat first up. Race 4, number 9.
Great work this morning, Dino. Look forward to your contributions right throughout the week.
Terrific. Thank you, Warren.
Brendan Delaney, what are we looking forward to this morning on Sunday Central?
Well, plenty coming up. Big meeting at Cranbourne. It's a really nice card there today. John Ralph will be along to talk all things footy. Adiz Dogs Grand Final in Western Australia in a couple of weeks after two, well, flop prelims, really, you could say. They weren't that entertaining at all. Donald Trav Noonan take us through the card there. Healesville get underway early, 10 to 11 there first before we jump on the Form Express. Howard Walter with the Sunshine Coast. It's Cup Day at Dubbo. Kev Casey to take us through there. Would have been South Australian Grand National Day at Oakbank today, but with the COVID restrictions that we have in place, unfortunately no jump, so a 7-event program there on the flat. Nardi will take us through that. Ian Humphreys at Coffs Harbour before we look at the trots at Wedderburn, and George Ferrugia will find us all the winners at the Dogs.
How do you wrap up yesterday?
Ranch Hand, I'm going to go run of the day for mine. Not often you can get knocked over twice and come back and win. I know there was probably better credential wins than that yesterday, but going to go with him and the horse to follow, Defibrillate. We know he can be competitive in good races. He didn't have a great deal of luck there. You don't have to go back too far. He's beaten less than two lengths in an Australian Cup. I think he can be winning next time out.
I'm with you there as Defibrillator, as the horse to follow out of the day, and Animo, the big boy's back on a limited preparation. I think yeah, heading towards the Golden Rose, maybe the Corfu Guineas even further. He was the run of the day for me, Animo. That takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned on RSN 927 from Brendan Delaney, Sunday Central.